WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. President Trump says it's an hour of anguish for our nation after the jetliner helicopter collision over the Potomac River.
The work has now shifted to a recovery mission. Sadly, there are no survivors.
67 people were on the American Airlines jetliner and military helicopter, all told. His message to families.
We can only begin to imagine the agony that you're all feeling. Nothing worse.
He says there are indications of what went wrong. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy.
To back up what the president said, what I've seen so far, do I think this was preventable? Absolutely.
Flights did just resume at Reagan National Airport. Recovery efforts in the river are still going on. Radio reporter Alan Edders, a former volunteer firefighter.
They plot this out on the surface of the water. When they go down, they literally are feeling their way around on the bottom of the river for debris, for anything that they can find.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Steve.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. The latest in the federal funding freeze saga, Democratic lawmakers and nonprofits spoke out the loudest. After the Trump administration sent a memo instructing federal agencies to pause payments on grants and loans. More than 20 states filed a lawsuit, and Wisconsin was one of the plaintiffs. The pause on payments would impact all kinds of agencies and programs, anything from law enforcement to Head Start. The White House confirmed to outlets that it was rescinding the memo. Yet after that, reports said the administration still intended to carry out the funding freeze. Governments and agencies have had a whiplash this past week, trying to figure out what's next. Governor Tony Evers called it a disaster from the get-go. And the U.S. Senate confirmed former Wisconsin Congressman Sean Duffy as Secretary of the U.S. Department of Transportation on Tuesday. The Senate approved the nomination with bipartisan support by a 77-22 margin. Duffy has pledged to reduce regulations, to improve airplane safety, and encourage the development of safe driving vehicles. President Donald Trump nominated Duffy in November. Duffy represented Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District from 2011 to 2019. He resigned in the fall of 2019 to help care for his newborn daughter, who was born with a heart ailment. Since leaving Congress, Duffy has worked as a contributor at Fox News. And today, as temperatures soar to feeling like spring, records will be shattered statewide, climbing to highs in the 50s to upper 40s. At the end of January is about 30 degrees above normal, so it's no surprise to hear that our Wisconsin winters have been getting shorter and shorter. A recent study says we're losing an average of 14 days of winter conditions each decade since 1995. And this is all due to rising air temperatures and climate change. The study published in the Environmental Research Letters also found that the Great Lakes region has seen the steepest increase in average winter temperatures over the last 50 years. And the Great Lakes are losing ice cover at a rate at about 5% every decade. Continued changes could affect the ecosystem of the lakes. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Badgers fall to the Terrapins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A Big Ten matchup in men's basketball ending up in a loss for Wisconsin as the Badgers fall 76-68 to Maryland. Head coach Greg Gard on what happened.
You know, against a really good team on the road, you obviously have to take care of the ball, which I thought we did a much better job the second half. And then you've got to be able to make some plays and make shots. You know, credit to Maryland in terms of they made things more difficult for us.
The Marquette Golden Eagles are the 9th-ranked team in the nation. They're getting ready to host number 25th-ranked UConn Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Head coach Shaka Smart on what he looks for in a recruit.
We value three things: relationships. Number two, we value growth. We get these guys during a very formative time of their life. They're between 18 and 22 years old. If you're not growing, there's a problem. And our third core value, very simple: victory. We're here to win. So absolutely, we want people that value victory.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
An extremely warm winter day today, with record highs being shattered. Back in 1999 at 43 degrees, we're going to soar to the upper 40s. Soak it up and enjoy the sunshine because we get slightly cooler tomorrow and snow shoves in on Saturday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. It's 33 at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, actor Rick Overton from Groundhog Day joins me to discuss Groundhog Day. Then I'm joined by Chris Hopper and Kurt Krause from the Door County Film Festival. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, home of the Chad Holmes Show.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Angela Lang from Block, my guest co-host, and Calvin Butenoff on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. We live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, will be joining us for a little weather and wine. Going to talk about the forecast. I just stepped outside. It's so nice.
It's so beautiful.
It's crazy nice.
I love it.
Not going to last. And we're going to talk again about it's very dry in Wisconsin right now. Mm-hmm. We need snow.
Yeah.
We really do. We'll talk about that with Brittany coming up. J.R. Radcliffe, Journal Sentinel sports guru, will be here at 11:33 to talk all things sports. We will wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the 911 emergency edition. If you ever have a thing, by the way, that you think should not be, send it in to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Use that same email address. If you have a guest you would like us to get on the show, if there's something happening in your community that you think needs a spotlight, if you would like to complain, I'll make sure and pass it on to Calvin. No, I'm kidding. We do actually read all of the emails at Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, at civicmedia.us. Wanted to spend a little time talking about this not good news from the Cap Times, the byline to Kayla Hoyne. Wisconsin school achievement gap worst among the U.S. states. This has been this way for forever.
Yeah.
Wisconsin schools have made little improvement narrowing the gap in math and reading scores last year between black and white students. This is according to new results from a federal test.
Mm-hmm.
For Wisconsin fourth graders, 42% scored proficient in or higher in math. That's about 3% higher than the national average, but 5% of black fourth graders in Wisconsin met or exceeded proficiency in math, compared with 51% of white students in the state.
Mm-hmm.
That's really disturbing.
It's hard to hear, especially I am a proud product of Milwaukee Public Schools. I say that everywhere. I would not have the perspectives and quite frankly not be in the leadership positions I'm in without really, really supportive teachers, whether it was my band teacher,
right,
or my biology teacher or my English teacher, all of which I'm like Facebook friends with them to this day.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But like just seeing how when schools are, I want to say fully resourced, but resourced teachers, I'm not going to say that they were paid decent, but they showed up for me in a way where you thought that they were paid well. And I graduated high school in 2007, so you know, some time ago. And it's so sad. And I've said this before, is that I want every kid, as a person that doesn't have children myself, right? I want every kid and every student to have the exact same experience that I did, where teachers are pouring into them, where you walk into school and you don't have to go through metal detectors and it takes forever to get inside, right? Where you don't have to fear school shootings. I was also a free lunch kid. I was raised by a single mom, right? Free lunch. For a minute, I didn't understand that there was like this weird taboo with it. I was like, your parents have to pay, mine don't, right?
Right.
But there's kind of like this negative connotation, right, about kids that
freeloaders.
Yeah. I saw a clip where a guy, I don't know where he was, not in Wisconsin, a guy was basically saying, well, I worked my way as a paper boy through high school, so they should
he picked raspberries.
Yes. He was like, I did all of these things. One, paperboy route does not exist anymore, so you're telling these kids to get a job so that they could pay for school lunches. Does that impact their performance? Because I could not have a full-time job. Yes, I was working on weekends at my uncle's restaurant, right? But having a full-time job so you can eat at school is going to negatively impact your grades.
And I'm assuming that this gentleman's experience was so he had pocket money.
Exactly. He wasn't talking about school lunches.
He didn't have a paper road and wasn't picking raspberries so he could eat at school.
Right.
He was doing those jobs so he had pocket money to spend on whatever.
Yep. Yeah.
Slightly different.
just a little bit different experience.
And I have to wonder as well, Angela, thank you, Scott Walker, for demonizing our teachers.
Yeah.
In case we have forgotten.
Right.
How they framed teachers during Act 10.
Yep.
And they're lazy and they get summers off and they're overpaid and they're bad teachers. Why on earth even today would someone want to go into that profession? Because I think that flip of respecting our teachers for what they do went to disdain for what they do.
Yeah.
And now we keep even putting more expectations on them. Now we want them to be armed.
We want them to be armed. We want them to protect all of these kids. And I'd be remiss if I didn't also mention how ICE is trying to go into schools as well. And I saw a teacher post on his TikTok and it was like, so you want me to take bullets for these kids, but you expect me to give them up to ICE? No, you asked me to protect these kids. I'm protecting these kids.
You told me to put my life on the line
and
for them.
And that's what I'm doing. And it's, I applaud those teachers and I have a lot of deep respect for those teachers. And also at the same time, I was at the protest with Act 10, right? And in the cold and the cold snow and my shoes and sleeping over and eating Ian's pizza for God knows how many days on end. I remember all of that. And I remember thinking that was like one of the first big pivotal things for me.
It was huge.
It was huge. It was a dividing line, right? It tore up families. But I also remember it clicked for me. This is not only bad for the obvious reasons, but the fact that like we have made teachers who cultivate our future and our kids to be the best doctors, economists, which also helps the Wisconsin economy long term.
Absolutely.
Because you can't have teachers that don't care about their kids and are not, you know, actually truly educating them because they're not going to grow up and actually contribute to the economy. You know, that's not one of the main arguments, but I think at least Republicans should see that. But I think it's I knew in that moment, I was like, the fact that we are demonizing and villainizing teachers, I was like, this is bad on a deeper level than just the policies.
And we also didn't learn about all that teachers do, even when we were in the middle of the pandemic and parents had to step in in many instances and become the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have thought that that would have imbued people with an entirely different respect for what they do.
Agreed. Like if I'm... A teacher's job is hard in and of itself. Oh. And I, you know, there's a teacher in Milwaukee, unfortunately, you know, was passing out materials, just kind of like know your rights materials to families and is now suspended, right? She wasn't doing political stuff. She was giving out nonpartisan, know your rights type of materials.
Nothing illegal.
And it is, you know, the way these teachers are showing up for our kids above and beyond, it goes to show their passion, dedication, and love for literally our children and our futures.
Yes.
And the fact, I remember I had a teacher in high school, and it was like every Wednesday, she would have a red shirt and khaki pants. And at some point, someone asked her, and she was like, oh, this is my night. I have to work my night job after this. This is why I can't do after school activities. I have to work at Target on the night shift. And we were like, why you got an extra job? Right? Because like in my head, I was like, they must be making 80 to 100.
So much money.
Right? And then she was like, it was in high school, so she wasn't going to try and, you know, say all of the things. And she was like, actually, teachers don't get paid that much. And I was like, what do you mean?
How can that be?
And it goes to show consistently what we choose to value and what we choose to prioritize.
Absolutely. And you can see that just by what teachers can spend up to $250 of their own money for school supplies and things like that they can write off.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Johnson gets to write off private planes.
Right.
So that's apparently where our priorities are.
Yeah, I've always said we should tax the rich, you know?
What a crazy thought.
What a crazy thought.
Crazy, crazy.
But go ahead.
Well, here's something that may just fix all of our problems, Angela.
Yes.
Headline from Molly Beck in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, GOP lawmakers seek to require public schools to display "In God We Trust" in their classrooms. Republicans, Senator Corey Tomchick of Mosinee, and GOP Representatives Joy Gebbin of Hobart and Nate Gustafson of Fox Crossing want support from the legislature for a bill to require the display "In God We Trust" in all public school buildings within 6 months of its passage and by the 2026-2027 school year.
My first question, is the sign bulletproof?
Good question.
Can
they hide behind it then?
Right. Is it big enough to hide a kindergarten class and shield them from the bullets that are not being stopped? Like, I'm curious. Or is it like a metal thing that all kids can put in their book bag? Because, you know, kids are putting metal stuff in their book bag as kind of a means of armor.
You can buy
them. Is that what it is?
You can buy special backpacks. I know.
It's the world we live in.
And the whole church state.
That's just gone.
Well, I realize that's the goal of Project 2025, essentially, to erase that line, that division, shall we say. But this seems wildly unconstitutional to me.
I would also argue it's stupid. I'll just say it. I think it's stupid. I also think it's wildly, wildly offensive to parents that have lost children to school shootings.
Yes.
Right? This is months after the shooting in Madison. And this is their response.
And by the way, there was another shooting in Tennessee that was after the Abundant Life Christian school shooting. They had two school resources officers in that school. I'm just saying.
School resource officers also do not... Everything is connected with what we're talking about, right? Because like we can talk about the Act 12 thing, we can talk about the taxes, and we talk about school resource, you know, officers, and all of these things are connected because in that Act 12 package, in order for Milwaukee to raise the sales tax, we had to put cops back in schools amongst many things.
In order to get that money.
Yeah.
Angela Lang is here from Block Black Leaders Organizing Communities. When we return, Brittany Merlot, civic media meteorologist, will be here for a little weather and wine. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the vast statewide, countrywide. We're global if you listen on the app, baby. Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Donald Trump did not campaign on stopping Meals on Wheels to homebound seniors. He did not tell you he was going to cut road safety projects or state-based homeland security initiatives. But that was always the plan. And while a judge late yesterday hit the pause button, it has been a busy 18 hours as people and agencies and businesses took in that gut punch.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. Sure, you still presume innocent, but since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Angela Lang in for Greg Bach and Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call, text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She joins us every Thursday, usually at this time. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here for a little weather and wine. It is so nice out in Racine right now, Brittany. It feels like April.
Oh my gosh. Can you bring some of that up here?
Because is it not that nice?
About 37.
Yeah. Oh. Brittany's in Wausau, by the way, in case you don't know.
Heat. I mean, we're going to be breaking records all across the state today. Feeling like spring and enjoying it. Yes.
For a day.
Uno day. Yes, that's it. It's going to go away very, very fast. In fact, tomorrow we take a 10 to 15 degree temperature hit. So still staying on the mild side of winter weather, but the winter weather does strike back on Saturday.
So,
of course.
Are we getting snow or what's going to happen on Saturday?
Yeah, we are. So the jet stream has shifted, first and foremost. It is targeting us now, and it's going to be winter from here on out. What I mean is snow chances, not necessarily the cold snaps, but the snow chances. So we are looking at snow Saturday afternoon into the evening and even into Sunday, turning into a wintry mix as this warmer air lifts back in. So it's kind of a tug of war between spring and winter as we go into this weekend as well. So what's going to happen is soaking up the warmth today, a little cool down tomorrow, ton of sunshine both of those days. Snow moves in Saturday. We're looking at a good 2 to 4 inches, especially into the north woods. Further south in the state, though, probably more like an inch for you, because a lot more freezing drizzle and regular rain is going to switch into that. So a slushy, wet type of snow, and then the wintry mix Sunday, because a warm front is lifting through again, taking our temperatures back into the 50s, especially south on Sunday.
Wow. Yeah. Now, this is great.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I saw a guy in shorts.
Oh, yeah, same.
And the flip-flops are, okay, good for you. But this really isn't good.
It feels weird. Like, it, I can't be happy.
It's the end of January. This shouldn't be happening.
I'm concerned.
And people get mad when I say this, but things need to freeze.
Yeah.
There are certain things that get killed off in a freeze that are important.
Absolutely. I mean, those algae blooms, do you want to enjoy the lakes this summer? Because we need the colder weather for that. We're also just losing winter in general. I mean, 14 days per decade we are losing to spring or fall kind of conditions. Yes. And then you put the ice cover on top of that on the Great Lakes. That is significantly shrinking, 5% per decade. And people don't quite understand why that even matters, but the whole ecosystem, the fish, they need that. They also need the oxygen and all the nutrients for that ice cover. It helps them. Not to mention the lake effect snow. When we start to freeze over the lakes, that shuts off. And some of these towns up in Hurley, Wisconsin, Ironwood, Michigan, snowfall. Mm. Well, the rest of us are in a snow drought. I was looking at conditions here in Wausau. We're 2 feet away from where we should be on average snowfall. 2 feet.
Wow.
Well, and that has major ramifications then when it comes to spring.
Yep.
And farmers need to get into the fields and put their crops in. If we're starting with such a precipitation deficit, that's not good.
Yeah.
No. And actually right now, the frost level in the ground is rising, and it's right at the level where their pipes are. So this could mean more bursting pipes into parts of the state too, even though it's not a cold snap. I know that's kind of weird, but there's a lot of things going on, even underground, underwater, that we don't pay attention to, but we need to.
I think that's really shocking that we're losing 14 to 15 days of winter every year. I haven't heard that before.
Yeah. Yeah. And our temperatures here in the Great Lakes region are the ones that are rising the fastest, about 3 to 5 degrees. So we're also seeing that as well. I mean, those areas are definitely the lakeshore, the bayside areas, getting those warmer temperatures. It's affecting all of us.
Well, and if I remember correctly, 2011 was the great Groundhog Day blizzard of 2011. I remember it very well because we had to shovel ourselves out of the hotel where the station had put us up to get to the station. And then the car got stuck driving up the driveway to the station. Oh, yeah, it was great. But we had over a foot of snow, and that wasn't that long ago. Mm-hmm. This was in 2011.
Very interesting. Now, because I'm looking at the track for the rest of the month as we go into February, and I keep seeing storm after storm after storm.
Oh, okay.
It's hitting Wisconsin. So, like you're kind of saying, Jane, it could be right around the corner for us.
I wonder if it's just, like, delayed, too, because I feel like we always wonder, like, is it just a mild winter-ish, or is it just a late start and we're going to get hammered through April?
I would love that. Everybody's shaking their fist at me.
Brittany Merlot, the human aberration.
Yeah, you might be alone in that thought. But that's okay.
But think about last year, the Iditarod they had to completely redo the whole thing because of the lack of snow. This has big ramifications for a lot of businesses up north with snowmobile trails and all the winter sport loving folks. And they were really hurting last year, and a couple more years of this in a row is gonna be disastrous.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about the American Birkebeiner. Many years they've had to cancel it in just the past 5 to 10 or so. And do they move closer to Lake Superior to get the lake effect? Is that going to be our only guaranteed snow machine in the future? Not to mention ATV trails up north, they're starting to open up year-round, which means they're using the snowmobile trails. Which
for their ATVs.
For less snow.
She joins us every week for a little weather and wine. Brittany Merlot, thank you so very much. Really appreciate it, my friend. Have a great day.
Thanks, Brittany.
You too. Thank you.
I'm going to go home now and yell at my daffodils and say, it's not time. Don't come up yet. Getting over anxious. News is coming up next when we return. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be with us to talk all things sports. Keep it here. You're listening to Matt and Aaron on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. The rhyme I win. I'm the wrong book of the suckers to be messing with. Cause when I put the mic in my hand, I start wrecking it. They call me the D-A-W-D-Y-C. There ain't another brother bad as me. What I let go. Something from the ghetto. Word a little brother kicking rhymes like it never ever hurt. Daddy of them all. Shooting the kid like a gun. Chris Cross, show him how it's done. Warm it up, Chris. I'm about to. Warm it up. What?
Falls Radio, WXCO. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlau. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development is accepting applications for Wisconsin Fast Forward grants. The grant program is meant to increase the number of skilled workers in the state. Public agencies, private organizations, and tribal governments can apply for the program and could be eligible to receive some funding to train more skilled workers themselves. Grant awards range from $5,000 to $400,000. Applications must be submitted by 3 p.m. on March 11th. And love is in the air, blowing in from all over the country and into the hands of residents at Stevens Point Health Services. Derek Tritz has more.
The Central Wisconsin Nursing Home began their third annual Valentine's Day Challenge on January 7th, inviting everyone from NFL teams, watercolor artists, and everyone in between to send in their best Valentine's Day cards. The challenge originally started as a way to help residents with loneliness during the holidays, according to the nursing home's life enrichment director, Becky Rossman.
Some residents don't have families, and sometimes the holidays can be kind of sad for them. And they said it would be nice to reach out to people to have them share a positive message. And then we're like, hey, let's ask for Valentine's Day. And then it's just been building and building and building.
Last year, the residents at Stevens Point Health Services received over 3,000 Valentine's Day cards, spanning 45 states and even countries abroad.
Last year, we received cards from Germany, Brazil, and Australia. So the residents are really learning the power of the internet and social media and how messages can travel.
Despite receiving a card from the Baltimore Ravens, they have yet to receive one from the Green Bay Packers. The nursing home is currently sitting at 83 Valentine's cards and will be taking cards right up until Valentine's Day on February 14th. If you're interested in sending a card of your own, more information, including the mailing address, can be found on the Stevens Point Health Services Facebook page.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Night Agent is a show we've talked about periodically on Nightlight. The second season just dropped on Netflix, and lots of people seem to be finding it. The spy drama drew 14 million viewers in its first 5 days, and according to TheWrap.com, landed in the top 10 most viewed shows in 90 countries. The plot finds an FBI agent sitting in a room in the basement of the White House monitoring a phone that supposedly never rings. Until it does, and a conspiracy unfolds. Great premise, and a pretty good show. If you like heist films, you might enjoy the film Den of Thieves 2, Pantera. Gerard Butler is back playing Big Nick, an L.A. County Sheriff's detective, in the follow-up to the first Den of Thieves from 2018. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is also back as bad guy Donnie Wilson, trying to evade Big Nick, who tracks him across Europe. Jackson's character disappeared at the end of Den of Thieves 1, leaving the story ripe for sequel. The film could be 15 minutes shorter, but does deliver with some high-speed thrills and gunfights through beautiful settings in Europe. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
An extremely warm winter day today, with record highs being shattered. Back in 1999 at 43 degrees, we're going to soar to the upper 40s. Soak it up and enjoy the sunshine because we get slightly cooler tomorrow and snow shoves in on Saturday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Right now, it's 35.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as things get cheesy for what's worse, blue cheese or American cheese. The controversy continues, you weigh in. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air. Angela Lang is here from Block, my guest co-host, while Greg Bach is off. And we have Sweet Cal B on the board coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that people continue to flee. Come to Blue Sky. Come over to Blue Sky. It's a much nicer place.
It's a hug.
If you are a hockey fan, tomorrow night, Wisconsin taking on Minnesota. Our broadcast starts at 6:30 tomorrow night. Friday evening, you can catch action on WFHR 97.5 FM and 1320 AM in Wisconsin Rapids. Wisconsin hockey against Minnesota tomorrow night starting at 6:30. He is the Journal Sentinel sports guru. J.R. Radcliffe is here. Good morning, JR. Thanks for joining us.
Of course. Good morning to you as well. No Greg Bach today.
No Greg Bach.
I know. You got me. Sorry.
No.
No, I'm kidding.
There's going to be way less panic, way less. It's going to be a little more chill.
I was going to say, keep going. Maybe you'll see. Who knows? You might regret that statement.
I don't know how Greg actually got to get days off. It's never going to happen again. So, but I hope he enjoys it while he's got it. Where would you like to start, JR? There's not a whole lot of good Wisconsin things to celebrate right now.
No, the Bucks have lost a couple in a row. Granted, they were playing well before that.
Yeah.
The Marquette's good. Marquette Golden Eagles are good in men's basketball. Wisconsin men's basketball team took an L last night. Well, the Super Bowl is coming up. We could go bigger picture.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Kansas City. Well, so here's the thing. Kansas City has won the last two Super Bowls.
Right.
And they are on the cusp of winning a third. They're going to play the Philadelphia Eagles. There's a couple of Wisconsinites in this game that maybe we can talk about because I think there's some cool stories there. But you're going to hear a lot about three-peat being an unprecedented achievement because in the Super Bowl era, there has not been three winners in a row. Mm-hmm. But there is one franchise that has actually three-peated in terms of championships. And that would be the Green Bay Packers. They did it back in the 20s and 30s when things were very prehistoric, and that's fine. But they also did it. They won the championship before they won the first two Super Bowls. So that would, technically or otherwise, I would say more than technically, be a three-peat. So that has not been acknowledged. So, you know, maybe it's a little preventative maintenance here, being like, before you start talking about how great the Chiefs are and unprecedented, just to be clear, the Packers have also three-peated. You are welcome to join them in this very elite fraternity, but nobody else. No other franchise has three-peated, and the Chiefs would equal what the Packers did, but this is something right now the Packers have to themselves.
Is it, correct me if I'm wrong, JR, but isn't three-peat a copyrighted term?
Yeah, I think it is. Was it Phil Jackson of the Bulls who did it? Let's see. Let me do some.
Interesting.
Yeah, Pat Riley.
Pat Riley. Yep, it's actually a copyrighted term.
I didn't know that.
I think when the Bulls did get their third win, he got a cut of that because they wanted to have shirts that said, you know, three-peat on it.
Uh-huh.
And he gets a nice slice.
That's fantastic. Good for him. I hope that no one is coming after me because I definitely wrote about this in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, how the three-peat is something that the Packers had previously done. I didn't use the digit three. It was written out. Maybe I get some leeway.
I think you're okay then.
Copyright infringement thing.
Yeah. But that's an important detail. I didn't know that.
Yes. I mean, the Super Bowl era is kind of this tricky thing, right? Like in 1965, the Packers beat the Browns for the NFL championship. The NFL was the dominant force in football. The AFL had come along. It had only been there, I think, to that point, about six seasons. But there was interest in merging. And in 1966, the year after, really a few months after they beat the Browns for this championship, the two leagues get together. They decide we're going to merge. We're going to wait a few years. We're going to wait until 1970 to like completely merge our regular seasons. In the meantime, we'll do our own thing. And there will be this AFL-NFL championship game at the end of the season. So in 1966, the Packers again won the NFL. They beat the Cowboys in a very exciting game, not the Ice Bowl. That comes later. But they beat the Cowboys in a very, very exciting game. And then they get to play the Chiefs in the AFL-NFL championship game, which later kind of quickly becomes the Super Bowl. It didn't stay, you know, weirdly worded for long, but it wasn't you know, everyone expected the Packers to win. The NFL was so much bigger than the AFL at that point. More teams, more talent. Nobody thought the Packers were going to lose that game, and they didn't. So it was very early Super Bowl. We weren't seeing like filled up stadiums or anything like that. And then the following year, they do it again. They win the Ice Bowl. They go again to the championship game, and they beat the Raiders. So that is three championships, you know, three NFL championships, if you just want to put it that way. Mm-hmm. You can, because, of course, the merged league took on the name NFL. But the NFL was still, I mean, 50,000 people plus came to Lambeau to see them beat the Browns in that, you know, January 2nd, 1966, right after the 65 season. That's a lot of people. That's more people than go to a World Series game. So, like, this is not small potatoes. So again, yes, it's three-peat. The Packers are the originators of the three-peat.
You heard it
no
here.
No matter what Pat Riley says.
JR says.
Yep.
It just is. Let's talk about the cheesers on both sides of the of the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So the Philadelphia Eagles have a guy named Zach Bond. He played at Brown Deer High School. I saw him in high school. He was electric. He was a quarterback. The Associated Press or the Coaches Association, I don't remember who, but he was the offensive player of the year in the state of Wisconsin when he was a senior. He had previously been enrolled at West Bend East, but he primarily known for his varsity play at Brown Deer. Incredible, went to the University of Wisconsin, switched to the defensive side of the ball, was at Wisconsin for a full gamut of years, and ended up All-American, ended up doing great. And then he was drafted, played four kind of unremarkable years, mostly as a special teamer for the New Orleans Saints, signed a one-year deal with the Eagles before the season. And they decided, you know what, they got a first-year defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, very well-known, experienced defensive coordinator. He had just his first year with the Eagles. And he decides, you know what, I think that guy's a linebacker, like a full-time linebacker. Not only was he very good, he ended up first team All-Pro, which is an incredible, incredible accomplishment. He is a finalist, one of five, for the NFL's Defensive Player of the Year.
Wow.
He was unbelievable. Forced five fumbles, had sacks, bunch of tackles for loss. He's with TJ Watt of Pewaukee High School and much, much better known to this point as a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year. He's had a sensational season. He's been a huge reason why the Eagles have been so, so good this year. So he's on one side. And then on the other side, you've got two guys. Leo Chenal, who played at Grantsburg High School and then played at University of Wisconsin, had a tremendous career there as well. He could win his third Super Bowl ring because he was a rookie on the Chiefs 2 years ago when they won their first Super Bowl. He's a lot of special teams, but also plays on defense. He's not as big a regular as Zach Bond, but he's blocked a few kicks. He has a sack in the Super Bowl, a blocked extra point in the Super Bowl. He hit a really good Super Bowl last year against the 49ers. And he is in the mix for the Chiefs. They also have a Brookfield East graduate named Mike Caliendo, who's been part of the offensive line. He was a reserve most of the year, but they moved some things around on their offensive line, and now he's their left guard. So he's also going to be playing for the Chiefs as well. Also, I believe capable of winning a third ring. He was on the practice squad a couple years ago and won one last year. So there is a fair amount of Wisconsinites. I believe the University of Wisconsin, I think it's 15 of the last 16 Super Bowls have had somebody in the big game, and like something
that's
like
cool.
23 of them have rings. So yeah, this is not unusual, but it is cool.
Hey, Wisconsin represents.
Seriously.
Like to hear it, Calvin.
Well, just like bigger picture thoughts about the Super Bowl. Do you get any sense that there's going to be some viewership fatigue with this being the third time the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, the second time in 3 years that the Eagles are in the Super Bowl? Do you think it will affect ratings at all, or do you think this will still be the typical largest night in sports?
I think it will affect my personal enthusiasm, and I think it will for a lot of people. I don't know about ratings. Ratings, you get there's so many factors, and I think the Super Bowl is not even a football game. It's an experience for most people across the country. You know, they get together with friends and they watch just every year, no matter who's in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen a bunch of Super Bowls. I don't care who wins. It's a bunch of two teams I don't care about. This is no different, believe me. So I think the ratings will be mostly unharmed, but you are. You know, there is probably some fatigue with the Chiefs. I think that's true for a lot of fans. Like, Kansas City's a small market. Patrick Mahomes is a likable guy. Who doesn't like Taylor Swift, you know, hanging out? I think that's cool. It's just, yeah, we saw it last year, and we saw it the year before, and we saw it 2 years before that. Like, the Chiefs, they just go to the Super Bowl now. It's what they do. And to have an exact matchup like we did 2 years ago, Chiefs-Eagles, is a little bit of a yawn. I don't think it'll affect... You know, I think, you know, you're still going to have people tuning in for the commercials and Kendrick Lamar at halftime and the prop bets and all the funky stuff, you know, and pizza rolls with their friends. Like, that's maybe speaking to my specific.
I was going to say, how do you know my plans? I love my pizza rolls. No, I think adding on that, right? Those are my first things. Like, yes, I love the Super Bowl. I love sports ball. When the Packers are done, I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I do have a backup team. Well, two things. I have a backup team. The Eagles is my backup team.
All right.
But also, who I try to do, whoever eliminates us from the playoffs, you better win to make it worth it. And the Eagles knocked us out. So it works. But then also, like, I'm watching because it's like, it is, like you said, it's an experience. But I'm like, Taylor Swift is going to be there. So the Swifties are going to tune in.
Right.
And then Kendrick, like, we all know the year that Kendrick had last year. I think people are going to turn into the Super Bowl as well. And sometimes when I only want to watch the halftime show, I end up just watching the whole game anyways. So I'm curious about how all those dynamics kind of play out.
Yeah, I think it'll be pretty much business as usual from that standpoint. As well, you know, for a while, the Brewers, every team that beat the Brewers won the World Series, or at least, made it to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, the Mets screwed that up. They got to the NLCS. Great for them. But then they did not advance to the World Series past the Dodgers. So it feels like, you know, maybe this is some sort of spiritual kickback. The team that beats the Packers goes on to win the Super Bowl. Maybe that's what we're in for.
Do you have a pick for the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I think the Eagles are actually the better team. I've felt that way. But, you know, like a lot of people, I've seen the Chiefs sort of skirt by all season long, you know, a lot of close wins. I think scoring 32 points against Buffalo, I think it's been 20 some games since they've scored 30 points. They've just been doing the bare minimum to get by. Now they're obviously very experienced and they know the Super Bowl as well as anybody. So you give them an edge in that regard, but I think the Eagles are the better team. And I would just, nothing against these guys, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid. What's not lovable about rotund Andy Reid, my brother Andy Reid, who I love the fact that he has been so successful. But I am just ready for something else, even if it's a team that was there 2 years ago. Give me the Eagles, please. Give me the Eagles.
And obviously, Angela, that's your
me.
Pick.
Yep.
See, and I'm going against both of you. I just want the Chiefs to win because all the Taylor Swift haters will be upset.
Also, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
That's my only reason for cheering
that's
for the
fair.
Chiefs.
I respect that.
And it makes me happy.
Okay.
Of course, this mega billionaire superstar just, you know, she starts dating Travis Kelce and that team only wins championships. Everything is coming up Taylor Swift. Everything comes up Taylor Swift. It's amazing.
You said it. J.R. Radcliffe said that out loud. And so you're right.
It's true. I have nothing against Taylor Swift. My daughter is still in this phase where she's very anti-Taylor Swift. She will be cheering for the Eagles, I am sure.
I need we need more details about why your daughter is anti-Taylor Swift. I'm very curious.
She's 10 years old. I think she got bombarded with a lot of Taylor Swift fandom amongst her peers, and she is taking a contrarian point of view. I thought it was performative for the longest time. I still kind of think it is. But I can't leave a Taylor Swift song on in my car without her, you know, like freaking out. She likes to read in the car. She's a big reader.
Good for her.
Yeah, she's a huge reader. We go to the library like every week. But she was reading in the back seat the other day, and my son was in the front seat, and the song came on, and we looked at each other, and like, how long do we think it can go?
Nothing.
We got through the whole song. We were just like silently like, you know, sitting there waiting, like, when's she gonna pop up? She's like, ah, turn it off. It never happened. She missed it. She missed the entire
song. That is hilarious. There's gotta be nothing more devastating than the disdain of a 10-year-old girl. I can't even imagine.
I think of myself at 10.
And I have no problem with it. I enjoy her music. I am not a super fan by any means, but certainly enjoy the music. And like you, I am not sad when the Taylor Swift haters are disappointed.
Yeah.
That is an audience that I'm not as fond of. So
I just think it's more important now than ever to find a little joy wherever you can.
Yes,
it's true.
Yes.
You know, just it's the little things. It's the little things in life that make it worthwhile. Calvin?
I guess my prediction is going to go with the Eagles. I think a three-peat's a really hard thing to do. Yeah. There's a reason it's never happened in the NFL and even in the NBA, a league more prone to dynasties. Mm. A three-peat hasn't happened since 2001. So
you've heard it from Sweet Cal B.
There we go.
Okay. Read his stuff in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. J.R. Radcliffe joins us every other Thursday. Thank you so much, J.R. Really appreciate it. We will see you in a couple.
All right. Sounds good.
Coming up, we will wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Hello 911 edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Yamato, the drummers of Japan return to the Grand Theater in Wausau with their Power of Human Strength tour. Experience the explosive energy of these talented musicians when they take the stage on Friday, March 7th. With more than 40 different taiko drums, Yamato engulfs the audience in energetic sound. Yamato. Tickets at grandtheater.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Last April, federal cybersecurity agency CISA issued warnings to election officials on how to combat a Russian online scheme to mislead American voters in the 2024 election. CISA is now under attack by its own administration. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency Act was signed by President Donald Trump in 2018, with part of its mission to protect election systems. It played a vital role in hardening state and local computer systems prior to the 2024 election, supporting state election officials, and monitoring hacking and disinformation campaigns perpetrated by Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. After the 2020 election, it refuted Trump's false claims that the 2020 election was manipulated. Trump fired its director, and CISA was targeted by Project 2025 for a dramatic overhaul, with some conservatives calling for the agency's elimination. Just before inauguration, President Biden issued an executive order requiring new CISA cybersecurity standards be implemented, but Trump immediately revoked it January 20th. CISA's highly qualified director, Jen Easterly, resigned on Inauguration Day. New Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, said in her confirmation hearing, CISA had strayed from its mission by monitoring disinformation. As governor of South Dakota, she refused federal funding to harden cyber systems, calling it wasteful spending. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Angela Lang in for Greg Bach, and Sweet Kelby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, John Dietrich, who is an investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he has done some great series about gun violence in Wisconsin. And we're going to talk to him about his latest in this series. Should be very, very interesting. He's a fantastic reporter. Emily Mills, who has written for the Recombobulation Area, like you have, is going to be joining us after the 11 o'clock hour. Dan Schaefer, civic media political editor and the author and founder of Recombob Area, will be my fill-in guest host.
Love that.
For tomorrow. So I hope you can join us for that. It is just about 11:53. Calvin, that means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to me at Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says, civicmedia.us. This is from UPI.com. Ben Hooper has the byline. Headline reads, Wales' most inappropriate emergency calls include fingers stuck in beer bottle. The Welsh Ambulance Service said some of the most inappropriate calls to its 999 emergency number in 2024 included a person whose finger got stuck in a beer bottle and a person whose pet alligator got loose.
I mean, that seems valid, though. That one seems valid.
In a news release, they said that over 400,000 calls came in last year. Of those, 63,000 were determined not to be life or death emergencies. One 999 caller told dispatchers, quote, I got my finger stuck in a beer bottle and it will not come out, unquote. Another caller reported they had chipped a tooth. Another reported that they couldn't get a bracelet off. Going back to the alligator, One caller reported a problem with their pet alligator. Quote, it's got loose and I'm scared to death. I don't like it. I do not like it. I think it's under the sofa. Unquote. You have your pet alligator. You brought it into your home.
That sounds like a you problem.
Doesn't it? Maybe decisions I should have rethought.
Consequences of
my own actions. Yeah, I think it's under the sofa. That seems not good. Another caller said they were just calling out of an abundance of caution. Quote, I stuck my finger in a plug socket and I felt no effect, but I'm not ruling out if I've electrocuted myself. Unquote. You want to be sure, Angela.
Everything about that story makes sense, starting with I stuck my finger in a socket. Everything else made sense after that.
I felt no effect, but I'm not ruling out if I electrocuted myself. One caller to the, again, the Welsh 999, that's their 911 service. He called and said that the cotton from the end of a cotton swab was stuck in someone's ear. And here's the one we will wrap it up with. Quote, I've got just a question, a general question. My general practitioner refuses to give me sleeping pills. How can I get some drugs?
I'm sure that person isn't the only one asking that question.
Probably not, but that might not be the
That's not appropriate. There's other people to call.
Wrong agency for that. I think there's other places, to go for that. This is, again, happening in Wales, but I'm sure if we talked to our 911 operators,
they have similar things. We all know.
Those people should write books.
Oh, I'd read that.
Right?
I would read that.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Angela Lang, it has been such a pleasure.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
I really, really appreciate having you and would love to have you back if Greg is ever allowed to take a day off ever again, which I'm not planning on. No, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
And read Angela in the recombobulation area.
Yeah, I already was inspired to write another piece and already texted Dan, and I'm going to submit him a first draft by the end of the weekend. So be on the lookout for that probably sometime next week.
Sounds great. Thank you, Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you guys, absolutely nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News coming up next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4, Dom Salvia 4 to 6. Lighten things up with Pete Schwabas from 6 to 8 p.m. Native Roots Radio with Robert Pilot. Fantastic show from 8 to 9. Pat Kreitlow starts it off early mornings from 6 to 8, and then Earl Ingram Jr. right here on WAUK from 8 to 10 a.m. Don't go away. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Dom Salvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney James Santel will break down the litany of executive orders and memos. Also, what are your rights as a U.S. citizen if you get nabbed by ICE? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. President Trump says a U.S. Army helicopter was in a bad position in the collision with an American Eagle jet over the Potomac River.
You had a confluence of bad decisions that were made, and you have people that lost their lives.
No survivors, the president said. 64 people on the jetliner, 3 on the helicopter. And Trump blamed Obama and Biden DEI policies for getting in the way of safety.
The FAA is actively recruiting workers who suffer severe intellectual disabilities, psychiatric problems, and other mental and physical conditions under a diversity and inclusion hiring initiative spelled out on the agency's website.
CBS News correspondent Chris Van Cleves following the investigation.
One of the things investigators are going to look to understand is why was the helicopter operating where it was? Was it within the normal flight rules?
CBS News special report. I'm Steve.
I'm Brittany.